From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Help While We Hope, the 12th in a series of messages on Romans chapter 8. The text is found in verses 24 through 27. As Dr. Cairns has explained from verse 24, the believer's hope is an objective reality. It is the redemption of his body and the assurance of his entrance into glory. This hope is what sustains God's people in times of adversity. Verse 26 reveals a hindrance that detains us as we seek to go on with God. We often suffer from what the apostle calls our infirmities, our weaknesses in the place of prayer. But there is help to sustain us, for the same verse declares that the Spirit helps our infirmities. Here we see the glorious truth of the Holy Spirit's intercession for the saints before God the Father. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Christian Liberality. The text is Psalm 41 and verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. To think about the poor and let them lie on our hearts is a Christian man's duty. For Jesus put them with us and near us when he said, The poor ye have always with you. Many give their money to the poor in a hurry, without thought, and many more give nothing at all. This precious promise belongs to those who consider the poor, look into their case, devise plans for their benefit, and considerately carry them out. We can do more by care than by cash, and most with two together. To those who consider the poor, the Lord promises his own consideration in times of distress. He will bring us out of trouble, if we help others when they are in trouble. We shall receive very singular providential help if the Lord sees that we try to provide for others. We shall have a time of trouble, however generous we may be. But if we are charitable, we may put in a claim for peculiar deliverance, and the Lord will not deny his own word and bond. Miserly curmudgeons may help themselves, but considerate and generous believers, the Lord will help. As you have done unto others, so will the Lord do unto you. Empty your pockets.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Many a time, instead of just rushing in, Lord, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other thing, that what appears to be comfortable or even good to you, it may indeed in itself be good. But there can be something better. This is a big difficulty, especially when the pressures are on. We're hindered by our ignorance. Sometimes that ignorance even takes a worse form, and it leads us to say all sorts of wrong things. When I read the prophecy of Jeremiah, I thank God that He's a God of mercy. Jeremiah was a good man. I don't think there's ever been another man in certain ways like Jeremiah. God gave him the most horrific ministry that a man could ever be called to exercise. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. And there came a time when bitterness set in. And Jeremiah lifted his face to heaven and his voice to God. And they said, "Will you be altogether a liar unto me?" It's not the language to use to the God of heaven. But he did it. He spoke ill-advisedly with his tongue. The psalmist Asaph was going through a very tough time. In the 77th Psalm, verse 7, he says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies?" What a list of questions. "Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten what it is to have mercy? Is there no mercy with God anymore? Is all that I have ever said about the mercy of God, all that I've ever sung about the mercy of God, all I've ever preached about the mercy of God, is it all a pipe dream? God, have you given up being favorable to your people?" That's what Asaph was saying. And though the Hebrew scholars, they're wrong in this, by the way, I can say it because Dr. Barrett's gone. They're wrong in this. Up the spout as far as they can get up the spout. Selah is just a musical notation. Don't you believe it? They weren't there to sing and they wouldn't know. Selah is a pause. Maybe a musical pause. I don't know. But certainly a pause in the thought. And I like the way the old preachers used to interpret it. When you see a Selah, it tells you stop and think on that. Think on that. Here's all this vituperation against the Lord coming out of the mouth of Asaph. Out of the deep agony of his heart and the brokenness of his spirit and the suffering of his body and the weakness that he's feeling. And he's just spewing out all this to God. Do you know what I like about it? There's no thunderbolt from heaven. There's no sudden fire or fury. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. But after the Selah, I see Asaph start to think. And he listens to himself. And this is what he said. "This is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. I think in that one little word, Lord, you see my weakness. I've said all this foolish stuff. It's not the expression of my heart. It's the very antithesis of everything I've ever believed. It's the opposite to everything I've ever hoped. But Lord, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I don't even know what to pray anymore." Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe that's where you are. I want to pray. I need to pray. But here I am. No matter how hard I seek to pray, I don't know what to pray. And that's where now we come to the heart of the message. I use the word advisedly, that there is here a help that maintains us. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, I want you to follow me carefully here. The word helpeth is a very simple word in English. And it's really not a difficult word in Greek either, but it's made up of three words. The first word means with. The second word means, in this case, over against. As if you're there and the Spirit's there. He's face to face with you. And the third word has the idea of taking hold of. I put it all together. It's a beautiful term. The Spirit lays hold along with us of our infirmities. Can you get a picture in your mind? It's only a picture, mind you. The word is much bigger and better than this. But I want you to see your infirmities as this huge, big log. And you're at this end and you can hardly lift it. But I've got to carry this and I can't do it. I have this problem and I can't meet with it. The Spirit comes face to face with you and He's lifting, as it were, His end. He's lifting this up. And of course, when the Holy Ghost does anything, He lifts more than His end. He lifts an awful lot more. He gives you strength to lift yours. But that's the idea. He is laying, as one great commentator put it, He's laying hands. That's why I said this is a help that maintains. In maintaining, there is the, etymologically, there is the idea of a hands-on thing. The Holy Spirit comes and He lays hands. He lays hold of our weakness. He upholds us. He maintains us. He keeps us going. He takes His part of the load. He takes it off from us so that He enables us with His grace and help to bear the burden. The Holy Spirit helps. The Spirit of God is the third person of the eternal Trinity. The Spirit of God is the personal representative of Jesus Christ among His people. The Spirit of God is to the body of Christ today what the living person, presence, and body of Christ was to His disciples as He walked the streets and roads of Galilee and Judea with them. The Holy Spirit, the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Spirit who comes to help God's people. And He does so by interceding. Interceding. Interceding for us. But the whole context here is interceding from within us. Now think of this. We are weak, but He is strong. We are ignorant, but He knows the will of God. And He lifts to the throne groanings that cannot be uttered. Why would it say that? Well, get again the context. We don't know what to pray. Have you ever been in a place where you're just before God? Now, I'll come back over this ground in a moment from another angle. But I want you just to follow me here. Have you ever been in this place where you're just before God and all you can do is appear before Him? You don't know what to pray. Weakness overwhelms you. The devil would tell you, it's all through with you, you know. You can't get anything from God. At that very time, the Holy Spirit is groaning from within us, interceding. We do not know the words. We cannot utter the words. But God speaking to God. That's the picture. From within this temple of the Holy Ghost, there arises to God a cry that God can hear and God will answer. The result is that He helps us. He maintains us patiently to endure in the light of our hope. He enables us to go on despite our weakness. You think, I can't take another step. But He gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. Have you not looked at life, say, a year ago, 5 years ago, and said, I can't make it another day? And yet here you are. You've not only made it, but in the will of God, you're here to worship Him and serve Him and be useful to Him and prove Him. Yes, He'll enable you to go on, and then He'll enlighten you to pray. See, I said I would come to this groaning from another angle. There is a theory that has got abroad. It's not so popular now, at least I haven't heard it around here, as it was in certain quarters, that the highest form of prayer is really to be brought to that place where you can say nothing, and it's just this inward groaning of the Holy Ghost. That's not what the text is saying. Martin Lloyd-Jones told his congregation, this is the last resort, as it were. This is when you can't pray. The Holy Ghost will take over. But you should seek to pray. The Holy Ghost's groanings help you to pray. By this, the Holy Ghost is helping your infirmities. He's holding you up. He is dissipating your weakness, and He's giving you a new strength. And the result of that will be that you will be able to pray. Hosea 14 verse 2 tells us about prayer. Take with you words and say unto Him. Goes on to tell you what to say. The Lord Jesus said, when ye pray, say, and He gave you the words. So words are important in prayer. Now, they're not the only thing in prayer. There is an attitude in prayer. There is a communication of spirit with spirit in prayer. This is not just a matter of talk from the teeth out. This is something from the depths of the heart. I realize that. But we are humans. And for humans, the expression of thought and meaning can only be by words. Take with you words. Earlier in the spirit, in the chapter, we read of the spirit of adoption. Well, now we see the same spirit, and He's the spirit of prayer. We ought to be praying, and how often in the prayer meeting I have brought this to your attention, and I've pleaded this as a promise and asked you to plead it as a promise. As a great cry to God, we are asking for the spirit of grace and of supplications. You see, if you learn anything from Romans chapter 8 in this passage, you learn in this waiting time, if you're going to endure, you've got to pray. You've got to get through to God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.